from KMXT and Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, the Alaska Board of Fish is meeting in Kodiak, but they've got even more work to do next week in Anchorage. Cora Campbell has won over some of her critics, and Evo's lawyers are looking for Alaska's lost fishermen. All that and more coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
The Alaska Native Brotherhood and Sisterhood have changed their minds about Fish and Game Commissioner Cora Campbell. Southeast's oldest Alaska Native organizations decided to drop their objections after meeting with Campbell last week. Bob Lozier heads up the organization's subsistence committee.
We found her willing to take a look at community economic development. She was willing to look at the sea otter issue in southeastern Alaska. And she was willing to take a hard look at community fisheries.
A&B last month announced it would try to block Campbell's appointment in the legislature. It accused her of being biased towards commercial fisheries and against subsistence. Campbell used to run the Petersburg Vessel Owners Association and worked with the United Fishermen of Alaska. She more recently advised Governor Sarah Palin and Sean Parnell. A&B and other Native groups have clashed with the state over traditional harvests. Subsistence Committee member Rosita Worrell says those at the meeting agreed the time was not right for a full review of that conflict. But she says Campbell was open to discussing a variety of fish and game issues.
She said very directly that it was her objective to work to restore the trust in ADFNG. And she recognized that very often ADFNG had an adversarial relationship, and she wanted to work to overcome that.
Worrell, a Sea Alaska Corporation board member, chairs an Alaska Federation of Natives committee working on subsistence. She says Campbell has been invited to address AFN. Native leaders outside Southeast also raised concerns about the new commissioner. Campbell, reached by email, called the meeting productive. She said she is, quote, committed to an ongoing dialogue with A&B and other subsistence users about fish and game issues. The Alaska Board of Fisheries is meeting this week in Kodiak to consider a number of regulatory changes for commercial, sport, and subsistence fishing. In all, there are 30 different proposals before them. The meeting began Tuesday at the Kodiak Harbor Convention Center. Dragers will take note of a proposal to close the Sitkalutik Strait and Marmot Bay around Kodiak Island to the trawl fleet. The move would be to conserve Chinook salmon and crab species taken as bycatch and help the species to recover. Also appearing on the agenda is a proposal to legalize trolling for coho for the first time since 1965. Similar proposals have come before the board as recently as 2008, but have failed. Proponents of trolling say the declining value of Kodiak salmon fishery requires allowing the gear type. But department staff say allowing trolling could cause treaty issues with Canada under the Pacific Salmon Treaty of 1985. Another proposal would allow for more time for pink salmon fishing in Kodiak's Northwest District. Fish and Game staff are opposed, saying they fear for the health of late-run sockeye. They argue the new regulations would require monitoring that would be burdensome for managers. The board will also be asked to prohibit a holder of a salmon permit from skippering in one region and crewing in another. Critics of the current policy complain that a loophole allows individuals to fish in multiple districts. Allowing set netters to catch coho salmon after August 15th is on the agenda, though Fish and Game staff are also opposed to this proposal. And a plan to prohibit Kodiak's seine fleet from retaining Chinook salmon until the Karluk and Iakulik rivers have met their escapement goal for three consecutive years will also be considered. But state fishery managers argue that current efforts to conserve kings closer to spawning grounds is a more effective strategy than any blanket ban on retention across management districts. Earlier this week, the Alaska Seafood Cooperative and other seafood organizations filed suit against the National Marine Fisheries Service to block the new rules aimed at protecting the far western stock of the endangered Steller sea lions. The rule, which went into effect on January 1st, closes Area 543 in the western area of the Aleutians to fishing for Atka mackerel and Pacific cod. Seven of Alaska Seafood Cooperative's ships fish in Area 543, and they represent about 90% of the area's mackerel quota. Their attorney, Linda Larson, says the co-op does not think the new regulation is justified.
the agency is taking these actions based on concerns about a subpopulation in the Western Aleutians, which is the outlier in terms of the stability of the population, and that population is, in fact, decreasing. But they're taking these very drastic, very restrictive measures to shut down huge areas of the Aleutians to any fishing at all for atka mackerel or cod without stepping back and taking a look at whether there were some other things that they could do that would allow fishing to continue and satisfy the uncertainty about what's actually causing the stellars not to be doing so well in the Western Aleutians.
Meanwhile, the city of Adakar is requesting the state issue an emergency order that will allow boats to fish for Pacific cod in the far Western Aleutians in spite of the new federal regulations. State of Alaska waters were included in the National Marine Fisheries Service's biological opinion on the status of marine mammals. That meant that the interim final action they issued in December, which closed Area 543 to fishing for cod and mackerel, also closed the state's parallel and guideline harvest level fisheries. Alaska Department of Fish and Game Special Assistant to the Commissioner Doug Vincent Lang says the state disagrees with the new regulation.
Largely what they said was that fishing was causing nutritional stress in stellar sea lions, and the data that we looked at, we could not substantiate that finding nor reach an agreement that fishing was causing nutritional stress of stellar sea lions. So in our opinion, this was just not necessary to reduce jeopardy to the western stellar sea lions, and we think that that population is generally increasing overall.
However, Vincent Lang says the state government didn't feel they could legally act against the National Marine Fisheries Service rule to provide additional fishing opportunities to communities in the region. Their opportunity for involvement began on December 23rd when the city of Adak filed an emergency petition for state waters to be open for fishing for Pacific cod by the 60-foot and under fleet. This gave the Board of Fish an avenue to consider an emergency order. Adak Mayor Michael Swetsoff says Adak relies on fish taxes to survive. The city has lost large amounts of money recently because its onshore fish processing plant, formerly known as Adak Seafoods, was not operational. Swetsoff says that Icicle Seafood plans to take over the plant soon, which will attract boats if the boats have waters to fish in.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
You're listening to the Alaska Fisheries Report. Hear the whole show online anytime at kmxt.org. While you're there, check out our spiffy new logo with artwork from the ASME Library. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game has found a higher incidence of a parasite that attacks crab species in the southwest district of Kodiak Island. Nick Zagalkin is a fish and game area management biologist. He said tanner crab samples taken from the Dead Man Bay have shown that 0.25% were carrying the parasite that causes bitter crab syndrome. That's a marked improvement from a historic high of 18% in past years. But he says samples show that the Southwest District is still a relatively concentrated area for the parasite.
That area tends to be a little bit deeper and more isolated, and the prevalence of bitter crab in that particular area tends to be higher than other areas in Kodiak.
So Galkin says crab fishermen in the Southwest District in Dead Man Bay need to take precautions to keep the parasite from spreading. Therefore, crab fishermen shouldn't mix tanners caught in the Southwest District with other districts.
We don't want the water that's being circulated in those tanks or crab that's been caught in that section to be mixed in other areas of the Kodiak District.
The parasite is deadly to crab and makes the meat unpalatable, hence the name bitter crab, which causes the catch to be unmarketable. Fishermen who had their Exxon Valdez settlement held back because of liens will get their money this year, and if they can't be found, a lot of fishermen will miss out entirely. That was the short version of what Kodiak Island Borough Attorney Matt Jamin told the Assembly at last week's regular meeting. KMXT's Maggie Wall has details.
Since he was providing the report to the Kodiak Island Borough, Attorney Matt Jamin began with an update of the borough's money.
The amount that was recently received, about $522,000, is the final payment from the Exxon Valdez litigation, and it is a payment that reflects the borough's share of approximately $120 million that was distributed in 2010.
Jamin said that claimants who had liens placed on their settlements should get whatever is still due to them over the next 6 months.
Those persons who had liens, for example, they owed the Internal Revenue Service some money or a child support order or something like that, did not receive their portion of the $120 million in 2010, but will receive it in 2011. And we are working on an application now, the first of six that we propose to make to the court, to get those distributions made during the first 6 months of 2011. And there will not be a great deal more money that will be coming through to the claimants with liens outstanding. I would estimate between $5 and $10 million.
Jamin said another group of claimants run the risk of getting absolutely nothing from the settlement. That's because no one knows how to reach them.
There remain at a fairly substantial number, in the hundreds, of people who are lost, which is to say they have claims, but we've lost track of their addresses. And we are engaging right now in a fairly serious effort to try to find those people, because to the extent that we are unable to find them under state law, we're required to turn the money over to the state of Alaska, its lost property section.
Now, you might be wondering, who would not be keeping tabs on their Exxon settlement?
The person who's working on this project now, or heading it up, over the last couple of weeks have found a person in Afghanistan, a person in Sweden, and a person in Central America who had been deported. So it's a very interesting process. I wanted to give you some idea that that's ongoing and that we may be pitching to the community for some help in that regard.
I'm Maggie Wall.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. On the web at amsea.org.
Commercial salmon trawlers in Southeast have seen a better catch this winter season. Trawlers have landed 12,700 king salmon in Southeast 3 months into the season. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game's regional troll management biologist Patty Scanness says overall it's been a pretty good season.
This season our catch is running ahead of last year and the five-year average by about 55%. And recently it slowed down a little bit, but the catch is slightly ahead of the 10-year average.
The 10-year average catch for this time of season is 11,500. The price for troll caught king salmon has remained strong this winter as well, averaging $6.68 a pound for the first 3 months of the season. Most recently, the price is averaging closer to $7.60 a pound. And from the I Know Somebody Who'd Be Perfect for This File comes word of a new Alaska fishing reality series. Shed Media US, a Los Angeles television production company, is looking to cast women for a new series called Alaska Fishermen's Wives. Casting producer Annette Ivey tells Deck Boss blogger Wesley Loy that she's looking to contact women who are, quote, outgoing and have big personalities. Ivy says they're interested in hearing about the day-to-day worries and stresses the women have to endure as a result of being a fisherman's wife. If you're interested, there's contact details on Loy's website, deckboss.blogspot.com.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Pebble Partnership. Listening before we act. Find out more at pebblepartnership.com.
And that's all for this edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help this week from Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau, KMXT's Jacob Resnick, and Maggie Wall in Kodiak, KUCB's Ann Hillman in Unalaska, and KFSK's Joe Vicnicki in Petersburg. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Jay Barrett.